Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in Revelation chapter 11. And I tell you what, we're going to do something which normally I don't do just because of the format. You know, this is an audio podcast, and so you really can't see things. You just listen, and that's good. It's a way of taking things in, listening. But I want to get in some things in this episode, the next one, maybe the next one after that, I'm not sure, because I think I want to take my time with this. And if you had a chart in front of you, it'd be really easy to see. And I'm actually going to be sharing from a couple of charts, one in particular, that I sort of compiled over the years with some things of what we're looking at right now. And just hang in there with me, okay? Just listen quickly, and I'll go sort of slow, because I think there's some great things here for us to glean. And it actually helps with the questions that people have about what is going on in Revelation, particularly about what's happening in the last days and the timing and the events that occur, just all of this stuff that we see. What I want to do for today is I want to go back and recap and close out what we've seen about these two witnesses. So this is Revelation 11:3. Let me just read the passages that we've read so far. And then there's two more verses. And then we'll see how far we can go. Verse 3. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses. Again, this is the voice that John is hearing, someone that's saying this. And they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Yeah, 1,260 days is really, really, did I say really? Really important. That is half of the last seven-year time period that you see. And that goes back to the book of Daniel. There's one seven-year time period that is yet to be fulfilled. 1,260 days is half that. It's described in scriptures. 1,260 days is 3.5 years, is 42 months, as time, times, and half a time. Okay? All those terms are speaking of the same period of time. And it's speaking of the last half of that seven-year period. How do I know that? Well, because when you see the totality of what the scripture says about all this, it could be nothing else. It couldn't be the first half. It couldn't be part of it here and part of it there. It couldn't be the middle half, for lack of a better term. Okay? It's the last half, because it actually begins when the man of lawlessness comes at the midway point of that seven-year period and declares himself to be God. So I continue with verse 4, Revelation 11. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemies. So if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. So again, if someone wants to harm these two witnesses, fire is going to come out of their mouth and consume them. Verse 6, these, as the two witnesses, have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. So when will this happen? Well, we're told that they will prophesy 1,260 days. At the end of that, they will be killed. Well, what day will they be killed on? They'll be killed on day 1260 or day 1261. I mean, they will be killed then, because that beast from the abyss will come up, will make war with them, and will kill them. And there's other things that we see that give us that timing. Verse 8, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is mystically called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Where was the Lord crucified? Jerusalem, yes. So their bodies will lie in the street of Jerusalem. Verse 9 says, those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. They're going to leave them out in the street dead to where all the world can see. And they won't permit anybody to bury, won't permit anybody to touch them. Verse 10, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Is that not crazy? The world would be so ecstatic over this that they're literally going to send gifts to one another because these two are dead. Verse 11. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. So there's one more verse to close this out that we haven't looked at. It's verse 13. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now watch this, verse 14. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Remember, the second woe was the blowing of that sixth trumpet. Well, verse 15, the next verse is going to talk about the seventh angel sounding this trumpet. But there's some things that occur right here that you see in other portions of the scriptures. There's about a 5 or 6 day lag right here before that seventh trumpet is blown, and some things are going to happen. We're not going to get into that today, I can already see, but I will show it to you as we go along. But notice what happens right here. In the hour that they are brought forth from the dead, there is a great earthquake, a tremendous earthquake. A tenth of the city of Jerusalem collapses. It falls. 7,000 people are killed in the earthquake. The rest of the people are terrified, and they're giving glory to the God of Israel. Now, I'll get into it in more detail in the next episode, but what I believe that happens right here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who comes and resurrects them from the dead. Well, why do I believe that? Like I said, well, we'll get into that later. But what you see in the prophet Daniel, in the last chapter of Daniel, and we've talked about this before, he makes a statement, how blessed are those who make it to the 1,335 days. He actually talks about something happening 1,290 days. And so what we see, we have this 1,260 days. We have it here in Revelation. You have it in other portions, in Daniel, things like that. At the end of that 1,260 days is the end of the 70 years, the 70th week of Daniel. But then there's 1,290 days, and there's 1,335 days. There's all sorts of ways that people have perverted that. They feel like they add this over here and add over here. No, it just boils down to this. There's an extra 30 days at the end of the seven-year period. And then there's an extra 45 days at the end of that period, okay? And the 35 days is when the ultimate wrath of God is poured out, the bowl judgment is poured out. After all the judgment of God is poured out, then there's a 45-day period when God restores everything, when he restores everything. And so what occurs is that Jesus actually, and we'll see this later, like I said, he actually is bringing some people into Jerusalem. He arrives in Jerusalem 4 days after these two witnesses are killed with the remnant that he has. He arrives in town the same day that these two are resurrected. We are not told that Jesus is the one who resurrects them. I'm just telling you that he comes in on day four. They're resurrected on day four. Remember, 3.5 days they lay there dead. That's the reason a half day is sort of important. Well, anyway, my time's up. We'll continue this later. See y'all then.